Turn in your Bibles to Psalm 107 just to get started here. Psalm 107. Verse 1. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gather them out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Four times, if we was to carry on and read through this psalm, four different times it says, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. Four different times it says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. The title of the message this morning is The Cry of the Redeemed. This morning, as you sit here and analyze where you're at with God, are you a redeemed person? Has God saved your soul? And what is the heart cry that is coming from your life? Turn with me in your Zion's Praises, the Green Book, to number 341. We're not going to sing it right now. We're going to read it. The Cry of the Redeemed. 341 in the Green Book. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through his infinite mercy. His child and forever I am. Redeemed and so happy in Jesus. No language my rapture can tell. I know that the light of his presence with me doth continually dwell. I think of my blessed Redeemer. I think of him all the day long. I sing, for I cannot be silent. His love is the theme of my song. I know I shall see in his beauty the King in whose law I delight, who lovingly guardeth my footsteps and giveth me songs in the night. Redeemed. Redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, his child and forever I am. What is my heart cry this morning? What is flowing out of my life? What is my testimony as I consider our Lord and Savior who loved me and gave himself for me? What has God heard from my heart this week? What has God heard from your heart? Has he heard me acknowledge my love for him and my desire to be in his will? In Matthew chapter 6, it says, after this manner, therefore pray you, ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name. Is that a cry that is flowing out of me this morning as I consider the death of Christ for my sins? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Turn with me to 2 Thessalonians 2. We'll continue this thought a little bit to get started. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 16. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God even our Father, which hath loved us, and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Do we picture God looking down on our lives individually and personally this morning? Right now, as we sit in his presence, our God, our Father, hallowed be thy name. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I want to just turn to these scriptures. We've got a lot to go through this morning. But I want to read what the Word of God says. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and 18. And will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. What testimony is flowing from my life today? What is the cry of the redeemed of this church here this morning? What is coming out of us? How are we sharing the gospel in our testimony? Galatians chapter 3. In verse 26, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Has the realization swept over you again in our Sunday school hour and in our time of being together this morning of what God has done for you personally? He is still our Father. He has redeemed us from the hand of the enemy. We are still His sons and daughters. Psalm 107 and verse 2 says this, and this is where I got the title, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy." What am I saying? What are you saying? What is the cry of the redeemed? Now, for the rest of the message, let's go to the book of Ephesians. At least in part, will probably be several more places. The book of Ephesians, chapter 1. It seems like Paul had this realization sweep over him as he penned these inspired words. This was his testimony, I guess. And I want to pull out of his testimony things for you and I to grab hold of today that sometimes we forget. Sometimes we don't understand exactly the magnitude of what has been done and of who God is. I believe this was his heart cry. Ephesians 1, we're going to begin in verse number 3. Blessed be God and Father. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us and in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. Now this was Paul's testimony. This was his cry as a redeemed person. Make this your heart cry. Or is this your heart cry? Is this your testimony? Paul wasn't talking about things that hadn't happened yet per se, or that might happen. He was making a statement. This is how it is. This is happening. This is real. Are you and I people that proclaim to all what God has done, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory? Let's go back to verse number 3. As we think about the things that have been done and have been given us, and what we produce out of that. You know, we're a people that like to fellowship, and we meet each other. And during the week, or on Sunday, or at school, or at sewing, or wherever it is, maybe it's on the phone, and we ask how we're doing. You know, how are you today? How is your day? What is your response? Is it a cry of the redeemed? Do you realize, and do I realize, what we have in Christ? I'm not talking about circumstances. I'm not talking about physical problems. I'm talking about what we have in Christ. And as I studied this and thought about this, I thought about two people that most of you here know very well. And that's Lawrence Ming and Doris Sandberg. Lawrence spent the last 18 years of his life unable to move anything but his head. And y'all, youth, maybe youth have grown up, but we sang many Sundays for him. And he called me many a day. And without fail, his testimony was, I am too blessed to be depressed. There he lay on his back with nothing but the cry of the redeemed to keep him sane. He couldn't feed himself. He had to talk through a trach. He had to blow in a straw to make the phone ring. Helpless, helpless. Yet he was too blessed to be depressed. Doris's testimony was so similar. Often in pain, whether physical or emotional, yet her testimony was so real. And I believe it was a cry of the redeemed. And I was challenged again by those two dear people. Both have passed on to glory. But I was challenged again by the testimony of their life. What is my testimony? Back here in verse 3, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ? What does that do to your life this morning as you take in those words personally? Who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, in heavenly things, in heavenly matters? Power for victory in the Christian's lives day after day. Grace that just flows from a God that loves His people. Strength that flows out in power to live above reproach. Are spiritual blessings alive and well in your heart this morning, personally? Are they a part of your everyday experience? If you was to make a list, or if I was to make a list on this board of the spiritual blessings that I received this past week, what would they be? Was the Holy Spirit evident in your life as you faced the obstacles, as you faced the devil, if you will, in the details and circumstances of your life? Was the Holy Spirit with you to guide you? That, my friends, is a spiritual blessing that takes away any pain of the present. Did you spend time in the inspired Word of God this week? Did the words flow into your heart and life and make you cry out what God has done for you, what God is doing for you? You know, this Bible contains the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, and the happiness of believers. This Bible says that where sin abounded, grace did what? Much more abound. That's what the Bible says. Was it real in my life today, this week? Was it real in yours? The path of life that you trod this week, in our little business that we had a lawsuit and we had a cash settlement of two things that were not our fault. And I'll have to confess in my human mind that I was just a little bit maybe grumpy. I don't know if that's right to say or not, but I think I was trying to understand the laws of the land and why this happened. Two accidents, very minor, no one injured. My insurance company had to pay, we had to pay. What about when I chose to sin against my God? You know, as we think about life and circumstances and problems and whatever stress that's in your life today, to me it just all goes away when we think about the wonders of salvation and of spiritual blessings. And I don't know who you worked with this week. I don't know who you talked to this week. But I'm convinced that you probably talked to somebody that was lost. Somebody that needed the Lord. I know for a fact some of you spent some time playing games with somebody who is extremely lost. You know, that could be you and I this morning. We could never have had the redemption of the blood of Jesus on our lives. We could never have had the spiritual blessings that most of us have had from the time that we could walk. God is the author and giver of all blessings. And He has blessed us with spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Verse 4 of Ephesians here, it says, "According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world." You know, the Jews considered themselves to be, you know, the elect or the chosen people. And the apostle gives us the insight here that Gentile people were in mind as well. When it comes to the mercy and goodness of God, yes, it was for the Jews, but also for the Gentiles. It's for whosoever will. We believe that this morning. And we believe that God has chosen us. And you know, as I considered that thought this morning, as I was studying this subject, God knew. It says He predestinated. And I'm not going to get into all what that means. But God knew that you and that I would choose to serve Him. He knew that. He knew one day you would choose to serve Him. He chose you to be His son or His daughter. We are chosen by God. We are a chosen generation. We are a royal priesthood according to Scripture. Now, what does that feel like to you this morning? To know that God chose you to be His son or His daughter. It pretty well takes anything in my path that seems whatever and minimizes it and gives me a hope that nothing can take away. Verse 5, it gets better, if it can get better. "Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will." He adopted us into His family according to the good pleasure of His will. 1 John 3:1 says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because" why? Because it knew Him not. "Beloved, now we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. The world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not." Again, the heart cry of you this morning, as me this morning, as a Christian, of what we have. God knows us. Verse 6 says, "To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved." This word "accepted" means endue with special honor, make accepted, or be highly favored. Why can you and I be accepted and highly favored in the kingdom? Why? How? Acts 10, I want to turn to this. We're running out of time. Acts 10, verse 34 and 35. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh at righteousness is accepted with him. You know, this morning you have an opportunity today, right now, to fear God, to be His child. Verse 7, back in our text. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. We already discussed this in our Sunday school lesson. And Lamar mentioned in our class why we go through this every year and why we discuss, why do we talk about it, why do we preach about it, why do we teach about it. Well, I want to take you to the second chapter of Ephesians. And I want to read you a story about me. And about you. And about anyone in the world that has named the name of Christ. Ephesians 2 verse 1, And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversations in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. That was you this morning. That was me this morning. And that's why we have a testimony. That's why we have a cry of redemption. The songwriter says, He brought me out of the miry clay. He set my feet on the rock to stay. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Verse number 8, back in Ephesians chapter 1. Wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Abound means to superabound. I'm sorry. Abounded means to superabound. In quantity or quality, it means to excel. Someone put it like this: Wisdom grasps God's doings, perceives and understands His counsels of grace. Prudence is directed to do what we have to do, looks at our problems and how to solve them, unquote. Have you ever been in need of wisdom in your life? Have you ever been in need of direction? Have you ever wondered what to do? Wherein He hath abounded or super abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. I want to go again to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Start in verse 6. First Corinthians 2 and verse 6. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, They would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Perry mentioned that in our class this morning. None of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written in verse 9, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. You know, as we think about the decisions in life that we need to make, the choices that we need to make, whether big or whether small, we can be empowered by God to know and to understand the complexity of life. It talks about God revealing things to his people by his Spirit. And that could be a sermon all of its own. But as you consider the choices you have to make today, this week, next month, find yourself in the Spirit of God. We can know what to do in any and all circumstances through the wisdom he provides for us in his word and through his Spirit. And that is a huge comfort to me this morning as I think about choices and decisions that we need to make. Back to our text, Ephesians 1. Verse 9, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. As we consider the will of God, to ask the question if we've ever struggled to accept the will of God is probably not the right question to ask, but it's still a question I need to personally ask, we need to personally ask. How do we accept the will of God? Is there a struggle? God's will means choice, specifically, or a purpose, a decree, a desire, or pleasure. And we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. And we know that Jesus had the same struggle in the garden for the sins of you and I. Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. You know, as we struggle, I'm going to put it that way because we're human, as we struggle to accept God's will, let's keep in mind that his will is his purpose. It's his inclination, desire, or pleasure. And this is definitions of that word. Not my choice, not my pleasure, not my desire, but thine be done. Our Father shows us his will. Can I accept it? Can you accept it? Are you living in God's will? Are you thriving in God's will? Jesus struggled alone. You know, he tried to get the disciples to be there with him, but he struggled alone physically. He was alone physically. He bore the weight of the sin of the world on his shoulders. It says that an angel came and ministered unto him and strengthened him. He took it hard. In his humanity, he took it hard. It looked impossible. It looked too big. And he begged if that's the right word to use, God, to remove it from him. Do you believe that God still sends angels to minister to you? To help you? Do you believe he sends his Spirit? You feel the have you ever felt the presence of God in the middle of a trying or a painful circumstance? Felt his presence. He was there. It was real. You felt lifted. Have you ever spent a long hour on your knees praying, trying to understand? Maybe it's for the health of a family member. Maybe it's for the soul of a child. Whatever it may be, have you spent hours or maybe days praying for something? And then a peace pass over you? God is still there. God is still showing us his will. God is still ministering to his people. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure which he hath purposed in himself. Verse 10. In whom we also have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. As you and I think about the inheritance that we have as Christians, does it affect the cry that comes out of our life to know that we have obtained an inheritance? In whom ye also trusted, verse 13, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Does the thought of inheritance breathe life into tired bones? Breathe energy into wore out people? As we think about the inheritance in store for the Christian, 1 Peter 1, 3 through 5, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Can anyone quote verse 4? To an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Verse 5. Who are kept by the power, go ahead Dave, of God. Does that bring life to you this morning? Unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. The Bible says, if in this life only we have hope, we are of all men most miserable. And you know, as we look out in the world around us at large, there is a vast amount of miserable people. They don't have the cry of the redeemed flowing out of their hearts and lives. Revelation 21, we have to read a little bit here before we close. I'm sorry, I'm running late. Revelation 21 and verse number 2. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Verse 4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. You know, as we page back a few thoughts to the will of God, of his pleasure, of his purpose. Right here, I believe it explains it all. I am Alpha and Omega. I know what is best and what is right. I am the beginning and the end, and I will give to him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. What is the cry flowing from you this morning as you think about your redemption? The cross of Christ, the blood of Jesus. Is the cry of the redeemed flowing out of this church family? Is it reaching the masses as we serve our King? Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, what's going to happen? I will come again. And then it says, even farther, it says, I will receive you. Unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. What a testimony that can ring from our hearts this morning. And what can breathe hope into a lost and dying world is to know the love of Jesus, and He is going to return to receive His own. Unto Himself, that where I am, there you may be also. Can we believe that together this morning in faith? That God is coming back for His people, for His redeemed people. What is coming out of our hearts and lives? What is our heart cry? Let's stand together for prayer.